Chapter 34. After applying the appropriate makeup, Kylar secured retribution to his back. Dressed in loose rags so stinking and filthy he was loath to wear them, he donned a satchel full of noblemen's clothes. He reset the door's traps with poisons that would sicken but not kill, and then perched on the ladder. It was early morning now, and the exit was blind. He'd been waiting a quarter of an hour, attuning himself to the sounds of the street. He heard the loud clop of a horse's hoof strike his flagstone. That was it. He waited one more second as he drew the kakari over his clothing and went invisible. He threw open the flagstone as a wagon passed overhead, crawled out, spun on his stomach, dropped the hidden door closed, and flung dust over the clean flagstone. The wagon's back axle caught on retribution. It spun Kylar back around and dragged him for several feet before he twisted free. The driver cursed and looked back, but saw nothing. Kylar stood, invisible, and made his way into an alley. He dropped the shadows and examined his rags to see what damage the kakari had inflicted on them this time. It wasn't bad, except for a few holes in the back that might show retribution. He twisted the satchel to lie across his back, affected a limp, and headed for the Heron's Rest. It was at the crossroads of Sidlin and Vanden, and thus one of the few inns in the city where he could enter in rags and leave in silks without attracting attention. He hadn't gone two blocks when he saw the ambush. Guild kids were hiding amid the ashes and rubble that clotted the alley. Most of them held rocks, and he caught glimpses of one or two clutching Caladoran swords, relics, no doubt, of the Nocta Himata. There was time to turn aside, but Kylar didn't for one reason. He saw Blue. He'd forgotten to hide the money he'd promised her. She might have even lived up to her side of the bargain and moved her crew, though he doubted it. The biggest kid in the guild was the first to stand up. He was short for 16 and gaunt like all of them, though he didn't have the distended belly of malnourishment that some of the littles had. He held a Caladoran sword, and his eyes darted around to the other kids for support. "Give us your coin in that bag and you can go," he said. He licked his lips. Kylar looked around the circle. 17 of them, all scared witless, most of them littles. Blue was squinting at him suspiciously. He grinned at her. "I forgot to give you this," he said, fishing in a pocket for a gold coin. It was far more than he'd promised, but these kids could use it. He tossed it to her. One of the bigs mistook the move and whipped his rock at Kylar's head. Kylar dodged, and the missile nearly brained another big on the other side. That big flung his rock, and in a moment, the circle exploded in flying rocks and slashing steel. With a surge of talent, Kylar leapt 10 feet in the air, flipped, drew retribution, coated it with the kakari. As he landed, he spun in a circle. Silver Bear Falls to Garen Zephyr, hacking the blades from the hilts of three swords. From retribution, the kakari released a pulse of magic that rushed over Kylar's skin. What was that? Impressive. Look. The guild had frozen, and even those bigs who were suddenly holding broken swords were staring at Kylar. Not their swords. He glanced at himself and saw that somehow he'd lost his tunic, and his skin was shining as if lit from within, as if he were bursting with barely restrained power. "I didn't tell you to do that." "You wanted to stop them without killing them, didn't you?"
"I told you it was him,"
Blue said. Kylar had an awful feeling of deja vu. They thought he was Durzo, Had the Kakare put that face on him, too? He was standing as Durzo had stood over a decade ago, when Azoth's guild had tried to mug him. But now, he was standing on Durzo's side. It looked different from here.
"It's Kylar," Blue whispered. "Kylar."
Two kids echoed. The awe in their voices made it clear that they thought they were mugging a legend. Around the circle, rocks rattled to the ground. The circle drew back, the guild caught between flight and curiosity. Only now did the bigs turn wide eyes to their faintly smoking swords, a few absently rubbing limbs or ribs bruised from flying rocks.
"How do you know that name?"
Kylar demanded, feeling a sudden shiver of fear.
"I heard Jarl talking at Mama Kay's once," Blue said. "He said you were his best friend. He said you used to be black dragons, and Mama Kay told us once that the best black dragon ever apprenticed with Durzo Blint. I put it together."
Kylar couldn't move. Durzo had said it long ago. The truth always comes out. If these kids knew that Kylar was a wet boy and Durzo's apprentice, there was no telling how long before an enemy knew it. It might have spilled already, or his enemies might never think to ask a bunch of guild rats. There was no way to know. It wasn't Kylar's fault, but Kylar had to disappear. His time was finished. If he ever came back to Cenaria, it would have to be as a different man, with a different name, and different friends, or none. Kylar would have to abandon everything, as Durzo had abandoned everything every 10 or 20 years. It was the price of immortality.
"Please, sir,"
the scared big who'd first confronted him said, licking his lips again.
"Apprentice Blue, she's the smartest. She deserves to get out."
"You think this is out?"
Kylar snarled.
"I'll be dead inside a week."
He pulled the Kakari to his skin and sent a jolt of blue fire through it. The kids threw up their hands to shield their eyes, and when they looked again, Kylar was gone.